Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 51. And while you're finding that psalm, I want to say that tonight we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, while you're finding Psalm 51, let me just read this passage. The passage in Corinthians that talks about the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." The New Testament teaches that believers that have given their life to Christ, they follow the Lord in their public declaration of faith in the Lord, and that is, in the New Testament pattern, scriptural baptism. Those are the candidates for participating in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is designed for believers to remember what Jesus Christ has done for them and what he did on the cross. And so tonight it is not really my goal necessarily to preach a sermon. It is my goal to draw you to remembrance of what Christ has done. I'd like to do that tonight by looking at Psalm 51. This is a confessional psalm. This is the psalm that when David, who had a major moral failure with Bathsheba and actually covered it up by having Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, murdered, he put him on the front line and he orchestrated it all so that it would make him look okay. She was expecting, she was with child, and so he was trying to cover all that up. He first of all should have been with his troops. Second of all, he should not have violated this relationship between Bathsheba and her husband. He should have not done that. And then thirdly, he murders her husband in order to cover it up, to make it look like that the baby that was to be born was just a premature delivery, so to speak, of a marriage that he just put together rather quickly. And what happened was Nathan, the prophet, and I've heard the old preachers talk about the bony finger of Nathan the prophet, and how Nathan the prophet came to David and he pointed his finger at David. And you can read this later in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12, and he said, "Thou art the man." And at that point, David admitted that he was the man, that it was his sin. And then the scholars believe that he left and exited the presence of Nathan and wrote this psalm, Psalm 51. Now, I don't know how long that time transpired, but he was under great conviction. He had admitted that he was the one guilty. And where this ties into us tonight in the Lord's Supper is that we have to come face to face with our sin, and because of what we've done in our sin, we can accept the free offer of grace in Jesus Christ. And it's only through what Christ has done that gives us the opportunity to know him in any way. And so because of that, we're going to read some of this psalm and talk a little bit about it, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to your multitude, the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Now, that's as far as I want to read right now. So we'll take a look at some points that we learn from this psalm. Psalm 6, Psalm 32, Psalm 38, Psalm 51, Psalm 102, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143 are the confessional psalms. These are psalms of lament, like we talked about this morning, but they're different. They're a subset of those other lament psalms because they are confessional psalms, and that's what we have right here in Psalm 51. The first thing that we all have to do, the first thing that David did is, number one, he admitted his sin, the seriousness of his sin. He points out, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. He needs washing. He needs cleansing. In verse 3, he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. His sin was before him. Ladies and gentlemen, before we knew Christ, as we were convicted that we needed Jesus and what he provided for us on the cross, we came face to face with our sin. Somebody has said you can't get found until you get lost. And one of the ways we know we're lost is when we face our sin and we realize that apart from the help of God, we have no hope. We're going to end up in eternity without Jesus Christ and without the Lord and without his presence. And so he admits, he looks at the seriousness of his sin as he admits it. He needs washing. He needs cleansing. His sin is in front of him. But then in verse 4, he gets down to the essence of sin. And can I say that the reason that the Lord's Supper ought to be special to us tonight is because really, when you get down to it, our sin was against God. Yes, we sinned against others. But look what David says in verse 4 of 51. He says, against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So he makes that clear that he realizes the seriousness of his sin. In verse 5, He explains the origin of his sin. He says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity." The sin nature that mankind has, he realized he had it. "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." That doesn't mean that there's it's sinful. The giving birth is sinful, but it is pointing out that every person born has that sin nature, and so he's pointing out the origin of it. So the first thing is he admits his sin. Now, you and I had to do that before we came to Christ. Anybody that participates in the Lord's Supper ought to be someone that at some point in their life they realized they needed Christ because they were lost. Now, can I say this to you? We need to recognize and admit our sin now. It's not just a one-time, we begin our relationship with Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." There is a beginning point to your salvation. But you know what? We were saved. We are being saved now. That's what sanctification is. That's a Bible word that means we are becoming more like Jesus Christ. And so how do we do that? By confessing our sin. That's why it says in the passage I read in 1 Corinthians that we should not take the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. That means we shouldn't have sin piled up in our life, known sin in our life, and take this Lord's Supper. We would be taking it in an unworthy manner. And that is not wise to do. And so for the non-believer that does not know Christ, they have to admit their sin. For the believer that wants to have a right relationship with God, they have to admit their sin. So David admits his sin. Then David agrees with God. He agrees that God is just. Look at the end of verse 4. This is Psalm 51:4, where it says, "That you may be found just when you speak." David was saying, this is not a raw deal. You are God and you're right. And this is not something that I was tricked into, you tricked me into. No, God, you are just. As a matter of fact, if you punish me, you'll be just in doing it. Can I say that? If God was to punish all of us, if we got what we deserve, somebody says, "Boy, you know, you should get what you deserve." Well, I don't want what I deserve. I want the mercy of God. And so David said he agreed with God that God was just. And it says in verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts." God's goal is for us to be right with him on the inside. Christianity is not just living it on the outside. It is living, it is being authentic on the inside in our relationship with God. And he recognized that. So he agrees with God that God is just, that sin starts on the inside. And then the third thing is David pleads for mercy. In verse 1, you see that. He says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." Now, isn't it interesting that he knew that God was a merciful God? Look what he says, "According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies," he says, "blot out my transgressions." And so David pleads for mercy. He sees the tender mercies of God. And then in verse 8, I want you to look at verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." He's pleading for mercy. He sees sin for what it does. It steals your joy. It robs you of joy. And so he says in verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness." If you look back at verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop." That was a bush that the priest used in spreading blood to appease the Lord, to cover sin. "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean." He knows he needs deep cleansing. He's pleading for the mercy of God. And then in verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He wants God's face turned toward him again. He wants a clean heart, verse 10. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Then verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. And then he had confidence in his plea because he is crying out to God for mercy. But he knows the Lord has mercy and has loving kindness. He says, when that happens, then I will teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted. He puts a component of witnessing in there. He says, Lord, if you will forgive me, I will tell others of your greatness. And is that not what we're to do? We have been greatly forgiven, so we should be telling others about what Jesus Christ has done in our life. And in verse 17, we didn't read that one, skip down. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. He knew God would hear him. He knew God would hear him. Now, real quickly, look back at Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is the sequel to Psalm 51. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones grew old. Sin will attack you physically. He says, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. Selah. He says Selah again. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. The scholars believe that this was the sequel to 51. And so David received that forgiveness. Now, church, we have received that forgiveness. Amen? We have, and if we had the time tonight, I could say to you, just stand and tell us where you were when you gave your heart to Jesus. And there would be people that would give us all different places, different ages that they were when they gave their heart to the Lord. But the truth is, we had to admit that sin and we had to confess it to the Lord. But you know what? We know that the Lord is a merciful God, and we know that if we are contrite, Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. We know the Lord will answer those who come to him in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.